Good day, and welcome to the AMG Earnings Q2 2015 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Steve Daniels. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to AMG's second quarter 2015 earnings call. Joining me on this call are Dr. Heinz Schimmelbusch, the Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Amy Ard, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Eric Jackson, the Chief Operating Officer. AMG's second quarter 2015 earnings press release issued this morning is on AMG's website. Today's call will begin with a review of the second quarter 2015 business highlights by Dr. Schimmelbusch. Ms. Ard will comment on AMG's financial results, and Mr. Jackson will discuss operations. At the completion of Mr. Jackson's remarks, Dr. Schimmelbusch will comment on strategy and outlook. We will then open the call to take your questions. Before I pass the call to Dr. Schimmelbusch, I would like to read a statement concerning forward-looking statements. This conference call could contain forward-looking statements about AMG Advanced Metallurgical Group N.V. Forward-looking statements are not historical facts, but may include statements concerning AMG's plans, expectations, projections, objectives, targets, goals, strategies, future events, future revenues or performance, capital expenditures, financing needs, plans and intentions relating to acquisitions, AMG's competitive strengths or weaknesses, plans or goals relating to forecasted production, reserves, financial position, and future operations and development, AMG's business strategy, and the trends AMG anticipates in the industries and the political and legal environment in which it operates, and other information that is not historical information. When used in this conference call, the words expects, believes, anticipates, plans, may, will, should, and similar expressions, and the negatives thereof, are intended to identify forward-looking statements. By their very nature, forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties, both general and specific, and risks that the predictions, forecasts, projections, and other forward-looking statements will not be achieved. These forward-looking statements speak only as of the date of this conference call. AMG expressly disclaims any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements contained herein to reflect any change in AMG's expectations with regard thereto, or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which any forward-looking statement is based. I will now pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Steve. During the second quarter of 2015, AMG generated $257 million of revenue, $25.1 million of EBITDA, and $11.3 million of operating cash flow. AMG Engineering achieved an EBITDA of $4.2 million during the quarter, the highest in 8 quarters, making continuous progress towards our stated objective to reduce costs and return the engineering business to historic levels of profitability. Order intake of $82 million, representing a 1.45 book-to-bill ratio, was the highest in 13 quarters. AMG Critical Materials continues to deliver strong return on capital employed and increase market share in certain business units despite an extremely weak metal price environment and the unfavorable translation impact of foreign currency on reported earnings. AMG net debt reduced by $45.9 million in the first half of 2015 to $41.9 million, and net debt to last 12 months EBITDA ratio of 4.46. In fact, they have reduced net debt in the last 12 months by over $100 million. AMG's strong cash generation under adverse market conditions, the strong balance sheet liquidity, as well as the board's confidence in our long-term ability to generate solid cash flow has resulted in a change in dividend policy. We are committed to returning value to shareholders and believe that our ample liquidity will also allow us the flexibility to capitalize on strategic opportunities. I would now like to pass the floor to Amy Art, AMG's Chief Financial Officer. Amy?
Thank you, Heinz. The main headline for this quarter is AMG's strong earnings and operating cash flow despite the continued impact of currency and weak metals prices on reported results. As we noted last quarter, AMG's financial statements are prepared in U.S. dollars, so the fluctuations in the exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and other currencies, primarily the euro, has an effect on the results of operations. The appreciation of the U.S. dollar compared to the euro resulted in an approximate reduction of $30 million in revenue and $3 million in EBITDA. Weak metal prices have also had a significant impact on metals companies globally, and these prices do also impact both the revenue and gross profit of AMG. However, since critical materials is generally a processor of materials rather than a primary producer, AMG does not get as impacted as other primary producing companies. AMG's critical materials second quarter 2015 revenue declined by $28 million, or 12%, compared to the second quarter of 2014, and gross profit declined by $5 million, or 14%, driven largely by the strength of the U.S. dollar relative to the euro and weak ferrovanadium prices. The revenues and gross profit of antimony, silicon, graphite, and titanium alloys and coatings are all materially affected by the exchange rate differential. Gross margin percentage remains consistent within critical materials despite pricing pressure in several businesses. Quarter-over-quarter volumes improved in antimony, silicon, chrome metal, and ferrovanadium as these business units were able to gain market share despite difficult trading conditions. The increased volume, however, only led to improved gross profit within silicon, as pricing pressure and product mix led to gross profit declines in antimony, chrome metal, and ferrovanadium. Planned capacity reductions and product portfolio rationalization lowered volumes sold within aluminum and titanium alloys and coatings. The lower volumes reduced the gross profit and gross margin within aluminum as competition continues to aggressively price material. However, gross margin improved substantially within titanium alloys and coatings, as sales of high-value-added titanium aluminide increased by 60% quarter-over-quarter. Q2 EBITDA in critical materials benefited from a $2 million reversal of environmental expense recognized in Brazil. A new estimate of the cost to decommission the mine in Brazil led to this reversal of previously recorded expenses. AMG Engineering's second quarter 2015 revenue increased by 13%. And gross profit increased by 67%. As we've discussed previously, there is a 6 to 9 month delay from order intake until revenues from those orders start to be recorded in the income statement. Therefore, this improvement in revenue stems from the increase in the order intake in the second half of 2014. Gross margin increased substantially quarter over quarter due to the higher revenues, improved project cost management, and product mix effects. The EBITDA improvement of $6 million was the direct result of the improved gross margin and lower SG&A. AMG Engineering signed $82 million in new orders during the quarter, generating a 1.45 times book-to-bill ratio. Order backlog as of June 30th was $138 million, an increase of 19% from March 31st. Within engineering, the euro depreciation reduced revenues, but had minimal impact on EBITDA. In the long term, the weak euro improves the competitiveness of this business versus our non-European-based competitors. AMG Engineering is in the process of implementing its cost savings measures, but the full benefits of the plan to streamline its workforce and implement its new strategic purchasing process will not be fully realized until the fourth quarter of 2015. Net finance costs were $3.9 million in the second quarter of 2015 as compared to $5.8 million in the second quarter of 2014. Approximately $1 million of the lower finance costs can be attributed to the lower debt levels and interest rates of the company in 2015. However, there are a number of offsetting transactions that have been incurred during the quarter, which require explanation. In the second quarter of 2015, AMG incurred $5.4 million in non-recurring charges related to the refinancing of the company's credit facility. This increase in expense was partially offset by a change in the timing and in the discount rate used to measure the decommissioning provision in Brazil. Given the volatility in the Brazilian economy, these changes led to a reversal of finance expense in the amount of $3.2 million. Finally, foreign exchange gains related to timing of payments impacted the quarter by $1.3 million. AMG's tax expense continued to be volatile in Q2 and the first half of 2015. The largest driver of the H1 year-over-year variance relates to changes in the valuation of the Brazilian currency. Movements in the Brazilian real exchange rate impact the valuation of the company's net deferred tax assets. These currency movements account for a $4.8 million incremental expense difference between 2014 and 2015. The 2015 effective tax rate was also adversely impacted by non-deductible refinancing costs of $5.4 million. Due to the volatile nature of the company's deferred tax balances, AMG believes that the cash tax rate is a more meaningful metric. AMG paid taxes of $2.2 million in the first half of 2015 as compared to tax payments of $3.8 million in the first half of 2014. For the first half of 2015, AMG's effective cash tax rate is 13%. AMG continues to employ a disciplined approach to capital spending. Capital spending decreased by 30% to $3.3 million in the second quarter of 2015. Maintenance capital spending for the second quarter was $2.5 million for 78% of total spend. As previously discussed, total forecast CapEx spend is expected to be approximately $25 to $30 million. The planned graphite expansion, as contemplated by the 40% investment in this business, will contribute to the higher level of spending in the second half of the year and the increase over 2014 levels. In terms of liquidity, AMG's balance sheet is exceptionally strong, and we are now in full compliance with all debt covenants as of June 30th. We now have increased financial flexibility accomplished through prior and current year debt reduction as we explore our strategic options. The net debt position declined to $41.9 million as of June 30th, 2015, and the net debt to LTM EBITDA declined to 0.46 times as of June 30th. That concludes my remarks. I would now like to pass the floor to Eric Jackson, AMG's Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you, Amy. Prices for the majority of our products were exceptionally weak in the second quarter. However, we remain focused on disciplined price risk management, business-by-business productivity improvement and cost reduction, and product mix optimization. With that focus, all of our businesses delivered strong second quarter results, especially when measured in the context of these challenging market conditions. We also continue to effectively manage working capital. Working capital was at 30 days as of June 30, 2015, down from 45 days at the end of the second quarter in 2014. In AMG Critical Materials, AMG Vanadium delivered solid financial results in the quarter, although EBITDA was significantly lower than in the second quarter of 2014. This was entirely due to lower prices as vanadium, ferrovanadium, nickel, and molybdenum prices were 28%, 30%, and 45% lower than in the same quarter of the prior year. AMG Vanadium's recycling business model and low-cost structure continues to prove its sustainability, and the management team is profitably increasing its leading North American market position. AMG Silicon delivered exceptionally strong second quarter 2015 operating results. Year-over-year improvement was primarily the result of a successful risk management program and higher production volume. Production and sales increased by 18% in the quarter as a result of last year's composite electrode upgrade on the third of our four electric arc furnaces. AMG Antimony and AMG Graphite continued to effectively manage price volatility and profitably expand market share during the quarter. Both units performed well, however, the dollar-euro translation had a negative impact on their dollar-denominated results. AMG Titanium Alloys and Coatings performed substantially better than the prior year period and in line with our expectations. The business will, by year-end, complete all investments necessary to fulfill our long-term titanium aluminide contracts leading to increased volumes and improved profitability in 2016. Despite an overall increase in sales volume of chrome metal in the quarter, AMG Super Alloy's gross margin decreased due to the reduction in volume of premium-grade chrome metal. This was a result of inventory rationalization measures implemented by a number of our major customers and weaker demand in the oil and gas sector. We view this as a short-term issue. AMG Aluminum's quarterly results were lower than the prior period, the result of price pressure in a number of key products, most specifically in North America. The management team has been successful in reducing fixed costs to partially offset weaker gross margins. AMG Tantalum and Niobium delivered exceptionally strong year-over-year improvement in EBITDA. We continue to deliver on our long-term tantalum concentrate contract and focus on improving productivity and yield. The weakening Brazil real is a positive for the business, although the full benefits of the weaker real will be seen in future periods. AMG Engineering's second quarter 2015 EBITDA was the highest in 8 quarters, aided by a much improved order intake in the last half of 2014. Order intake of $81.8 million in the second quarter 2015, the highest in 13 quarters, was attributable to exceptionally strong sales of heat treatment furnaces for the automotive market, remelting furnaces for the aerospace market, and induction furnaces for powder metallurgical applications. AMG Engineering's new product lines continue to gain traction. These products include vacuum creep-forming furnaces, which allow shaping extreme forms of ultra-hard glass, plasma remelting furnaces to remelt titanium, and powder metallurgical induction furnaces for aerospace and additive manufacturing applications. The previously announced plan to reduce costs and rationalize a number of underperforming product lines is on schedule. Since starting this exercise, AMG Engineering has reduced staffing by approximately 50 people, and we continue to target annualized cost savings of $7 million. I would now like to pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Eric. In regard to our corporate strategy, we are a critical materials company. We will seek to build our core critical materials business through industry consolidation, expansion of existing high-growth businesses, process innovation, and product development. In the present challenging environment, AMG will continue to reduce costs, optimize its product portfolio, and maintain a conservative balance sheet. AMG Critical Materials expects to continue to acquire market share in certain critical materials businesses. Although currency translation effects and metal prices will continue to affect revenues in this division, AMG's engineering strong order intake in the second quarter of 2015 and successful launch of new product lines has positioned the division well at the midpoint of the current fiscal year. We are focused on achieving our stated objective to reduce cost and return the engineering business to historical levels of profitability in 2016. Against industry trends, AMG expects to generate full-year EBITDA in line with the previous year and improve its return on capital employed in 2015. Operator, we would now like to open the line for questions.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will take our first question from Philip DePau from ING. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon all. Philip DePau from ING. First of all, congratulations on the good results. I have a couple of questions, if I can. The first one is on critical materials. It would be helpful to have a breakdown on the decline in revenues between the translation effect, the lower metal prices and the product portfolio optimization, if this is possible?
It is possible if you have another hour. I think the general characterization of the currency effect can hardly be at this call.
It's hard to it's definitely hard to give you the full impact because it's also weak metal prices, so it's the interplay between weak metal prices, currency, product mix portfolio. It's a difficult equation that is really not possible to answer, quite honestly.
In general, Philip, the weakness in the, because you can read the currency translation, the metal prices are partly cumulative and partly compensating, and depending on long and short positions, and the quantities are different because we gain market share. So all of that is different for the different 9 businesses. So it's please, next question.
Okay. Well, the next question is actually on the market share gains you are reporting in the critical materials. For me, it's a positive surprise that you are gaining market share in difficult markets in so many different metals. I was wondering if you could elaborate a bit more on what is driving those market share gains.
That is different unit. In vanadium, we are the cost leader worldwide, and especially in the United States, and we are very well supplied. And that drives our market share gains, and we expect that to continue. So we have increased our level, our production level and our sales level significantly over the last year, and we are working on continuing that. In titanium alloys, which comes to my mind as regard to market share, we have a very strong market position in the new alloys, where we in many ways can be viewed for the time being as sole supplier. And that's an aerospace-related product line which has been developed over the years and now comes to full commercial use. Those two, in antimony, we are gaining market share not as significant as these two divisions or the units just mentioned. We gain market share in silicon metal, a top performer within our product portfolio, and we also have gained market share in chrome metal. In chrome metal, especially in the high qualities which go to aerospace super alloy use.
Okay. Two more questions, one on engineering. I think the order intake was pretty surprisingly strong in the second quarter, certainly in view of the current trading conditions. Two reasons what I see is obviously your improved cost position and the weakness of the euro against the US dollar, which would put you in a good position. Are there other reasons why you have such a strong order intake in the second quarter?
Well, the difference here, at least, between order intake and cost. The cost position is independent of the order intake. The order intake, this company, the engineering unit, is exceptionally innovative and always has been, and is gaining market leadership in certain new markets. And when I say new markets, I'm addressing trends which are disassociated from general trends in general economic conditions. So, for example, as you know, the higher use, the significantly higher use of titanium alloys in aerospace, especially also in aerospace engines, has led to a substantial increase in the availability of titanium manufacturing scrap, and that leads to the need of additional capacity to melt, to remelt that scrap and bring it back into the flow sheet of the titanium industry. And for that, you need a very highly sophisticated remelting equipment, and we are a leading producer of those furnaces. And that is one sub-trend, which is sort of against general trends in economic climate. Another trend is powder metallurgy. As you know, the trend to additive manufacturing, generally referred to as 3D technology, is in full swing, and for that you need special equipment which enables you to produce the powder which is necessary for these technologies. And that is an ongoing trend, and we are in this trend, and it's a good thing. Then, of course, you have the trend in glass. Furnaces, vacuum furnaces, are not confined to the use in metallurgy. They are a very big sector in our product portfolio is related to glass. And in glass, we have special technologies for enabling glass producers to produce curved Gorilla Glass, which for telephonic or for consumer electronic applications is gaining traction. So those three would come to my mind. There are others, but those three trends would come to my mind to answer your question.
Thanks, that's very helpful. And the final question is on the change of your dividend policy. It's probably early days to talk about it, but given the profile of AMG, thinking on the 30 to 40% payout of earnings, is that a reasonable assumption?
It is so that this question has been, in our preparatory session, this question has been assigned to the Chief Financial Officer.
So, Philip, you know, first of all, we have to, and before we make any decisions, of course, we have to finalize numbers. But I don't think we're going to, the policy will not be based on a certain percentage of net income earnings per share. As you know, our P&L is rather volatile, not just because of, you know, what happens in the day-to-day operations, but because of taxes and other things that are somewhat out of our control. So I don't think it'll be based on percentage of earnings. It will be a different basis, which we'll explain in more detail when we finalize, you know, exactly what we plan on doing.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Philip Noso from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Philip Ngota from ABN AMRO. I have a few questions. Maybe the first one, that's on your guidance for the full year on the flat EBITDA. I was just wondering what assumptions are you working with, and in particular in relation to the metal prices. If I look, for example, currently at spot prices of vanadium, antimony, they're already down 10% or more versus the average Q2, and I was just wondering what assumptions are you using with the fact that you reiterated your guidance?
Well, I am reading your analyst elaborations occasionally, and one mistake you make is that you obviously think that metal prices are directly related to EBITDA performance in a functional way, and that is, of course, not the case. I know that this remark will not change your way of addressing the metal industry, but let me tell you that we are managing our price risk in a very professional way, and if certain prices rise, then we can lay the additional costs over to the customer in many ways, and if they fall, we try to bring that in line with falling raw material prices and keep the margin stable. And that is the general principle of AMG based on a very educated management staff, which is trained to do that. So therefore, for example, when antimony prices fall, then the margin stays stable. They have been falling dramatically, partly in the last two or three periods, and that has not affected the generation of EBITDA. In certain areas, we are generally long. And that is, of course, the case, for example, in tantalum. Now, in tantalum, the performance is positive, despite weak markets, because one, we are forward sold, and two, the Brazilian currency is in a deep decline mode. And that is directly affected to our profitability. In vanadium, we are partly long, and therefore that's negative because we have a weak market. Now, the weak market in vanadium might not stay a long time because the biggest producer in the world of vanadium in South Africa has filed for bankruptcy, South African version of bankruptcy. So there are certain supply-side related situations in vanadium which makes us believe that this is that the price decline in vanadium will not continue, and we are the only vanadium producer, last time I looked, which makes money. And very decent return on capital employed, even under extremely low vanadium prices. We are very happy about that operation, and it is still producing a very substantial profitability level, although vanadium prices are low. So we have mostly conversion businesses where we manage the margin stability, and we have certain outright long positions in vertically integrated sections where the prices is directly affected us, but we have compensatory movements there because in some long positions the forward sales are very, very stable, and in other currency movements help us, and certainly in as regard to vanadium, we can entertain those things because we increase market share. We have increased in general. I'm not talking about the exact period, but in general, we have now a production level north of 6 million pounds, and we normally historically we had a production level south of 4 million parts. So these are substantial movements, and you should have that in mind.
Okay, yeah, thank you for the very detailed explanation. I appreciate it. And let me just assure you, I do understand the differences between your processing businesses and the businesses where you have some long exposure. But maybe then let me restate the question. For the metals where you have a bit of a long exposure, and maybe in particular for vanadium, what are you assuming for the second half of the year? Are you anticipating prices to be higher? And if they remain at current levels, is there a risk that earnings will still disappoint?
We have a reforecasting procedure which is very accurate, and we are not, by the way, giving sub-segmental information in a profitability sense. It is lower than last year in vanadium. And it's very substantial.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're obviously aware of where the spot prices are today. And just as I said, there's many issues we use to manage our price exposure. There are a lot of other levers, of course, as well, capacity utilization, for instance. So the guidance we're giving is in, you know, we have obviously full knowledge of where the market is in the weak environment.
Okay. You know, no. I mean, but just a second. When you go to Vanadium and you have, maybe you call me one day offline and I explain to you what this business really is. Because if I explain it to you in detail, you will find that we have four income streams here. Four. Vanadium, nickel, molybdenum, and number four, very substantial, the most substantial one, is fees. Fees. Tipping fees. Fees which people who send us waste materials pay us per ton. Now, there's one guidance you might appreciate is that the sum of those fees has the same order of magnitude than our total operating cost.
Okay.
Anyhow, next question.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks for that. What I'm still then maybe wondering on, if you could give some insight into that, what is the current utilization rate for the vanadium plants at the moment?
Full capacity utilization, 100%.
Okay. But are you still able to increase volumes then?
We always work on, the next bottleneck in our process.
We are continuously de-bottlenecking. We are continuously, but right now, we are always 100%. We are always 100% sold, but the 100% is rising. You understand what I mean? It's called capacity increase. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's a bit difficult. You have to understand my position because I'm trying to work with the information that I have, and I can track markets. The market price and so on, but I have no information whatsoever on production volumes. But, okay, that's just aside. Maybe my last question then on Brazil, can you maybe give an update on what you're seeing there at the market at the moment? The market, you know, the signs continue to be negative, especially on the aluminium front. And I know that the Brazilian real is helping, but just maybe a bit of an update on what you expect and how the market is at the moment.
Yeah, our earnings for the quarter and year-to-date in aluminum in Brazil are higher this year than last year. That's just, you know, obviously we don't give kind of subsector information.
So, again, and for your, you know, higher than last year in aluminum in Brazil. Let me say you something about Brazil in general. 100% of the tantalum niobium produced in Brazil is exported in dollars. And 100% of the cost related to produce tantalum and niobium in Brazil is in the Brazilian currency. The rest you can calculate yourself.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Frank Claussen from Rabobank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, please. First question on, you talk about the historical level of profitability on engineering systems, but what do you consider as this level? Is this the 20 million roundabout EBITDA level from 2012 to 2013, or what are your thoughts on that exactly? And then secondly, on the cash tax rate, it was 13% in the first half. Yeah, what is your guidance for the rest of the year? Thank you.
The first question is if I have to, and the future is the future, and the future is uncertain, but historical levels of profitability, when we say historical levels, we mean an order of magnitude in average of $25 million.
And in terms of cash taxes, I think it's fair to say that the second half should be consistent with the first half in terms of dollars.
Okay. And maybe last question on engineering systems, because I know it was on the agenda to maybe spin it off or separately IPO it. What is the status of that? I can imagine that you first like to restore profitability with once that has been done in 2016. What is your view on engineering systems?
Well, you're absolutely right. The absolute focus in engineering was to improve our product lines as regard to the attractiveness to the market, and that's in full swing. And I mentioned it, and I mentioned the three of the trends which are helping us to do that. It took quite some time to develop these product lines and to gain our market position in those, and that has been exceptionally successful. Secondly, we focused on the, as you know, on the cost side, and we have mentioned that and described that in many publications. That then leads to the, hopefully, and in our forecast, to the return to substantial levels of profitability. That means that the value of this business as conventionally defined by multiples is, of course, substantially increasing as the now. And that, once we can prove consistency in that level increase, another quarter, and consistency and credibility of the return to that profitability, that then opens, of course, options, strategic options, to consider. And we have put that on hold, obviously, because nobody wants to consider strategic options when the profitability is very weak. Because weak multiple, a high multiple on a weak number is a weak number. And we have a financial advisor on those strategic options, and we will activate that process once we have achieved our target.
Okay. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Joost van der Soest from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. I still have another question about the dividend policy. It's not entirely clear to me if you intend to pay out dividend this year or if you're going to propose it on the AGM this year and then pay out next year. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
What I can say is that we have to, Dutch corporate governance requires us to file our interim financial statements, which will be filed by the end of August. And at that point, we'll determine the amount and the timing of when we'll pay. We'll let you know, obviously, when we make that final decision.
Okay. Thanks.
But we would not, of course, announce a change in dividend policy without paying dividends, you know?
No, that's clear. But
this announcement has a deep meaning. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
We will now take our next question from Philip Noto from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for giving me the option. I have one more follow-up question. You mentioned in the presentation that for the tantalum and niobium business, you expect the effect of the lower Brazilian real and the additional profits in the future periods. Can you maybe, are you willing to give any guidance on the magnitude of the additional uplift of EBITDA that you expect from that?
You do know that we don't give sub-segmental information, and you know that, and you ask that question, so please.
Okay.
Next question.
There are no further questions in the phone queue at this time.
Okay, well, thank you very much for attending our call. I think now we can close the call, operator. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.